like a sunrise warming us up. My drive's cruising on the highway, spending all of my time kicking with you, honey, with you. Ooh, honey, with you. Oh, ooh. Hello and welcome to Faith and Freedom. I'm Chimene Nugent. You know, we are living in a time where the battle between good and evil, it's not just confined to the realms of mythology or fiction. No, it's real, and it's happening right now, right here, today, as we speak, in the form of spiritual warfare. But it's not just about demons and angels. It's about the insidious forces that are threatening our very existence and the sinister ways in which they're manifesting in our world. So we're going to talk today about 5G, about weather manipulation, and about technology that promises lightning-fast internet speeds and unparalleled connectivity. But there's a cost for everything. And there are growing concerns among researchers and activists about the potential health risks associated with prolonged exposure to 5G radiation. Now, some believe that it could have detrimental effects on our physical and mental well-being and even disrupt the natural balance of our ecosystem. Yet, when concerned citizens raise their voices and question the safety of 5G, they're often dismissed as conspiracy theorists or labeled as troublemakers. And then there are chemtrails. Those are the mysterious trails of chemicals or condensation left behind by planes flying at high altitudes. Some people claim that these chemtrails they're just innocent. There's nothing to see here. They're just contrails. But rather, would it surprise you to say that there's a global manipulation and that some people, the nefarious, could actually control our weather and, while they're doing it, control our minds or even poison population? But again, those who dare to speak out about any of these things that are going on were ridiculed or silenced or accused of spreading misinformation and conspiracy theories. But let me ask you, why is it that speaking out about some of these things, even if you don't like what I'm saying or what anybody else is saying, when I was growing up, we had three channels, 2, 4, and 7. And if we didn't like what was on one channel, we would just change a channel and switch it. But could it be that those in power are afraid of the truth coming to light? Are they trying to suppress people intentionally and maintain control? And are they protecting their vested interest at the expense of our health and well-being? Well, the truth is that we're facing an unprecedented battle for freedom, freedom of thought and freedom of expression and freedom of health and freedom of religion. We're being censored, marginalized, persecuted for daring to question the mainstream narrative. But we cannot afford to stay silent. We must continue to speak out and raise awareness and demand transparency and accountability from those in power. We're going to discuss all of those issues with expert guests today on Faith and Freedom. Joining me live now is Pastor and Dr. Ben Graham. Ben, thanks so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So, Ben, how much of what's going on in the world today is spiritual warfare?
Oh, I think most of it, that's exactly what it is. You know, so often, being from this great country of America, we grew up with high ideals, great expectations. We really wanted to be a place of freedom, and we wanted to be a place that we had high morals. We could trust those in leadership, and, you know, honestly, we could rely on the fact that our leadership was going to try to maintain us, giving us the ability to be free. But what's happened is we've seen that money, special interests, all of those things have kind of taken a big shift in our nation. probably going on longer than we realize. And what's happened is our leadership is making decisions based on what helps line their pockets up more than what helps the average citizen. And so we see this going on. And so, as you mentioned, when somebody speaks out against it, they're quickly silenced as being crazy conspiracy theorists. But the reality is there is a lot going on. But I wouldn't say it's just because there's a few bad apples. What's really happening is we are in a all-out spiritual warfare. And we find that those who stand for truth, those who stand for the word of God, are labeled as all kinds of crazy names. We're phobics to everything now. And if you go with what is wrong, that's now viewed as right. And so we're living in some crazy times. There is a great spiritual warfare going on. And the sad thing is most pastors aren't standing up and speaking the truth.
Yeah. Most aren't, because they're going to lose their 501c3 status, right?
Yeah. We had an event the other day at the church I pastor, and some people wanted to get in for the event, and they were offended that they couldn't make it in. I actually wasn't even at the event. It was at our church. I was at another event, but I read some people were offended they were going to come in and they weren't allowed in. And of course, then it started trending on Twitter that we were a church that was a 501c3 and tax exempt. And how could we keep somebody from coming? The reality is when we started the church 10 years ago, I purposely did not file for a 501c3. We just chose not to do that because I never wanted that to be an issue. By the way, no church has ever lost their tax exempt status for being engaged politically, speaking the truth. But a lot of pastors fear that, a lot of misinformation. But we just never even did that because then it would never be a temptation for us. And we just believe that we have a responsibility to speak the truth. And of course, from a political standpoint, that is important. We've got to maintain our freedom. But even more important is the biblical truth. And you can't read the Bible, you can't preach the whole counsel of God and leave alone issues like abortion, leave alone issues like transgender and all the other things we could talk about. You just can't do that. And so if you're going to preach the whole counsel of God, you're going to hit on these issues that people say, well, those are social issues. Those aren't supposed to be issues that you bring out in the church. But no, they're moral issues, and they're issues that God has a clear stand on, and we've got to stand with God.
You have a very famous family. How did your great uncle, Billy Graham, and your dad, how did everybody in your family prepare you for this spiritual warfare? And do you think it's accelerated more now than when they were around or so prevalent speaking out?
Well, I definitely think that it has grown a lot. I believe it's because we're, as each day goes, we get closer to the day of the Lord's return and all of that. I think the enemy knows his time is limited, and it just seems like he's ramping up. I certainly think we're living in a crazier day and time. Somebody said it like this, said, you know, Billy was such a leader amongst, you know, everybody in the day and time in which he was there. And somebody gave me this challenge, said, you know, you're living in a much darker time, but when it gets really dark and you decide to be a light, your light can be much brighter. And I do think for us that are living today, we have a chance to really shine bright for Christ. I think for my family, one of the things that they did was just taught us to really be grounded in the Word of God and to walk in truth and to share the truth. You know, everything else is secondary. You know, it doesn't matter what family you come from. It doesn't matter how much money you have. What is most important is your relationship with God, and that comes through Jesus Christ. And then maintaining that faith and that walk with God. And the Bible says without faith, we can't please God. And so I think just walking by faith and trusting God, I try to keep a healthy balance. I have friends that every day text me messages of everything you could think of that's happening or maybe happening. I get all those messages. And sometimes there's days where I just can't watch the news because news will discourage you. But the thing that is important is for all these people who are daily watching news, can I remind you of the importance of daily being in the Word of God? It is what's going to help keep that proper balance and perspective of what's going on, because the Bible says that as believers we'll face persecution. It says there's going to be perilous times, but it also reminds us how we can have peace in the midst of the valleys.
Do you remember that joke that you told me before about being born into the Graham family, what the doctor told your parents?
Yeah, I just said, when you're a Graham, it's always congratulations, it's a preacher. And that's so true. I'm a fifth generation preacher. I think we have maybe 28 pastors in the family right now. And, you know, I grew up, I always said, you know, I would never be a preacher. And I heard this missionary one time, he was talking about how he said he would never go to Africa and that's where God sent him. And I heard that as a 12, 13 year old boy. And I thought, that's how it works. So I was like, all right, God, I'll never go to the Bahamas. I'll never go to Jamaica or Hawaii. God said, you're right. And reverse psychology didn't work on the Lord. And of course, I've learned, you know, never say never with God. And I surrendered to preach when I was 15 and was preaching all over the country at a relatively young age. And then became a senior pastor of the first church I pastored when I was 21 in New York. And so started very young. But, you know, I wouldn't trade any of that. I've had the blessings of doing a lot of other really cool things. But at the heart of it all, I think being in ministry, and one of the things my parents never expected me or wanted me to be a preacher. I had scholarships to play ball in college, and I remember my dad going to practice with me. I was starting on the team, and I would say, Dad, what do you think I should do? And he's like, do God's will. And I was like, okay, but if you was me, what would you do? He said, I would do God's will. And I was like, no, you're not getting it. But what they did is they made me focus to find what did God want for my life. And one of the things that Grandpa did to Dad did to me was at 16, he challenged me, read the Bible from cover to cover, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Read it for yourself and you find out what God says and you build a relationship with God. Now, I'd already given my life to Christ, but don't buy into your spiritual agenda based on what we say. Find out what the Word of God says for yourself. And that was one of the best things to help me find out that my relationship and my foundation wasn't built on what mom and dad said, but rather it was built upon what God's word said.
I love that. And you have another passion that you're able to weave into your ministry. Talk about your filmmaking and acting.
Yes. So we've got Graham Family Films, and I love doing that. I actually, by accident, was in my first movie when I was 11. They were filming in my hometown, and somehow I weaseled my way into that film, and then did some other theatrical stuff and some small films.
Okay, wait. I got to stop you. What film was that?
It was a movie called Sling Blade. Yeah.
It's pretty important.
It was a really neat opportunity. And then from that, we moved to Nashville 10 years ago and got invited to be a part of a movie and ended up getting a little role in that film. And then it led to a commercial and it started opening up doors and kind of snowballed from there. And then now here we are all these years later. And this year I've already had the lead role in two movies. And I've got two more that I'm filming this year. And what's been awesome is in January we filmed a new Christmas movie that my wife and I got to do the lead role in and kind of fall in love at the end. It's kind of a Hallmark style film. And then this fall we're doing a really neat movie together where she's my wife in that, although we're separated. And I'm a former military dealing with PTSD. And so it's been a really neat opportunity. Another movie that we just had come out, our latest film was called Pardoned by Grace. True story of a guy that was arrested 35 times. And from the time he was 13 till he's 36. And it's just been a really awesome project. And to see how God's using that. And a lot of people who struggle with addiction or have family members who's had problems being in and out of jail, they have said this film has really, really encouraged them and helped them. And so you can watch Pardoned by Grace right now on the streaming platforms. And we're excited about just putting out good family, faith-based content and things that will not only be good quality entertainment, but just be projects that will encourage people.
I love it. Ben, where can people find you?
You can go to PastorBenGraham.com or you can also go to GrahamFamilyFilms.com. And you can find out all of our information on there. And the other thing that I love is we also have a hunting show. And so that's, I'm actually been off grid for a little bit. We've been out of state and heading out of the country here and been filming a little bit of that. And I'm so blessed to get to not only be a minister and preach around the world, but also to get to do these film projects. It's so much fun, and it's led me to get to meet wonderful people like yourself who are just standing up for truth. And I know that you have been attacked. I know the spiritual warfare that goes on when you take a stand. And I just want to say thank you for continuing to take a stand. You and your husband, you guys, I'll just say it, y'all rock in many different ways. And you guys are an encouragement. And so thank you for what you do. And it's a blessing. And I really believe if we can encourage people to take a stand and to follow God's word and to just live by faith, we can change the narrative. And I think we're seeing little changes because people are waking up to what's going on.
Absolutely. Well, Ben, thank you so much for joining me. God bless you.
My pleasure. Thank you. God bless.
Don't go away, everyone. We'll be right back. Growing up, we were told that those streaks across the sky were just harmless condensation from planes. But sadly, that's not the whole story. Joining us live to talk about it more is filmmaker, activist, Matt Landman. Matt, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Shemaine, for having me on. It's important to get this message out.
Absolutely. Now, you've been researching and gathering evidence about chemtrails and weather manipulation and geoengineering. Why is it so important to you?
Well, firstly, if you watched my movie Franken Skies, which starts off in 1920s, the weather is engineered. And so if the weather is engineered, everyone needs to know about it because we all experience it firsthand every day. And as the agenda heats up to tell us more that we need to modify the climate with geoengineering because of anthropogenic man-made global warming, which is also a farce, it's important for us to align ourselves with truth in this empire of lies and treason that we're dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. But for those who are just joining us and don't even know what chemtrails are, and they really think it's just condensation, can you describe a little bit more about what is in a chemtrail?
So chemtrails are a dirty word that are linked to conspiracy theorists and easily dismantled because the word has been hijacked. The word means the purposeful spraying of aerosolized particulates, especially aluminum, barium, strontium, from jets to engineer the climate or to experiment with spraying different constituents on trees or on, you know, creating drought and all this sort of stuff. So it's spraying chemicals in the sky from jets. And then why is another story. But what chemtrails are the administering of aerosols into the atmosphere to manipulate things and whatnot.
And why, I mean, years ago, we thought this was all, like you said, conspiracy theory. But now, I mean, I watched part of your documentary. This has been going on for decades and decades. Why are so many people still not understanding and waking up to what's really going on?
So one thing that's happening is geoengineering, the term, is being introduced to the public. And what geoengineering is, it is chemtrails, but with a new scientific terminology. Geoengineering is the spraying of different constituents, aluminum especially, into the atmosphere to supposedly reflect light back into space and create an artificial cloud cover to cool the Earth. So people don't know about chemtrails because it hasn't been given any scientific stance, and it's been swept under the rug as a conspiracy. But now this new scientific term, geoengineering, is coming up and people are learning about this, but they're learning it under the umbrella or the narrative that it's a good thing, which it is not. So people don't know about it because the powers that be have done such a good job sweeping it under the rug. Decades ago, the public knew that rainmaking was a thing. Even in 1915, a Professor Hatfield made it rain in San Diego, making and was hired by San Diego, California, to make it rain. So rainmaking was common knowledge up until a couple decades ago when it was, again, swept under the rug and now we don't know about it. It's because this knowledge is not at the forefront. Anything that the powers that be want us to know or not know, it's like a book burning because it's all virtual, you know, it's all digitized. So what is at the forefront knowledge-wise is not this, which is you can control the weather. And then if people knew that you could make it rain, then these agendas like, oh, we've got drought and floods and forest fires and we need to do something about it and we're going to blame the people, you know, it's all this guilt trip to blame us for our carbon emissions. But at the end of the day, we aren't at fault. And we need to recognize that to see that there's a grip coming down to basically, you know, push us around and take away our freedoms.
I saw in your documentary too, we were talking about, or you were talking about how there was a hurricane and they can actually move the hurricane in certain directions. I was recently, last year, before the hurricane hit in Naples, Florida, actually the eye was in Fort Myers, which is just north, but it was supposed to go up to Tampa. Now, here's what's interesting, Matt. I was at a get-together with Dinesh D'Souza and Kash Patel called Reveal the Steel. And literally my travel agent was texting me during that event, and that was on a Saturday night, and she was texting me. She said, you better get out. The storm is turning towards Naples. Can they manipulate that? And then who's they?
The they is a dirty word, and that's a hard one, especially for people that don't haven't done the research. And the word they can scare people away because of the programming, the brainwashing, you know, the television really, and the media. It corners people against each other and creates this othering where we other people put them in other categories. And then anybody who thinks a certain way is a conspiracy theorist and they think the they is out to get them and whatnot. The they, to answer your question, is, I mean, that's a loaded question. It's deep there. The military-industrial complex, the New World Order, shadow governments around the world. But like our U.S. Air Force, they're on a need-to-know basis. But there is a program there that manipulates the weather. NASA is a big they. They have a budget. They have a budget of $60 million plus per day and have a program called CARE, the Charged Aerosol Release Experiment, where they manipulate the weather, make fake clouds, and they don't really care. That's just an acronym, but they do. They spray the skies and have a whole chemtrail program. So NASA is one of the theys. There's a program called HAMP, H-A-M-P, Hurricane Atmospheric Modification Project. And when they did this program, they learned that they could quell hurricanes, steer them, or intensify them by adding layers of carbon soot with drones to the outer eye of in the rim of the hurricane. And so, yes, with electromagnetic frequencies and ionospheric heaters are called, or HARP stations, they can steer with the use of electromagnetic waves, like radio waves. They can use that to steer hurricanes, push them around, and you won't see them ever hitting Tampa or St. Pete because that's a place where they actually live. So the hurricanes will bounce around them. The people that live there say that there is an Indian burial ground or something, that somehow the storms never hit there. But there is a control. People just witnessed storms hover over Fort Lauderdale, and they just got 24 inches of rain in one day. So it's heating up. The weather manipulation is heating up and everyone's getting involved, whether it's on their doorstep or not. And soon, I think the narrative publicly will say, hey, we need to start controlling this weather thing because, you know, it's getting intense, and geoengineering is exactly that, but it's in a nefarious way. I mean, this has been going on for a while, and it's this problem reaction solution where they create a problem and tell us, oh, I think we have a solution for you. It's called geoengineering. It's a new idea, but it's not a new idea. They've been doing it.
Goodness. Matt, can you stick around for one more segment? I mean, I feel like we're just getting into this. I want to talk to you about 5G and so many other things. Will you be able to stick around for a few more minutes?
Yes, please. And everyone, check out Frankenskies, the movie. It's at frankenskies.com. It's a great documentary. It's a must-see for everyone out there.
Absolutely. All right, don't go away. We'll be right back. We're back with Matt Landman, filmmaker, activist, and I want to talk about Frankenskies. That's your documentary, Matt. How did you decide to, or what made you decide to put out that documentary?
Well, that's a great question. I was working on a farm, actually. I'm a normal guy. I like to tell people that. Anyone can be an activist. And I was working on a farm after I'd gotten a graduate degree and worked a lot of different things. Finally, I plopped myself on a potato farm. And my first day on this potato farm, I learned, well, I didn't know much. I learned potatoes grew potatoes. And that's something I didn't know growing up in the city and even graduating top of my class with a master's in business. But on this farm, I witnessed weather engineering firsthand. We were expecting to have the drought alleviated, and this massive storm was coming in off the ocean where I lived in Northern California, working on this in this agricultural community. And as the storm approached, all these planes showed up and gridded the sky with these persistent linear cirrus cloud formations. At the time, I didn't know what I was witnessing, but what I did witness was the clouds didn't drop any rain. So a few months later, I heard the word chemtrails. I did a Google search. I realized that I had witnessed firsthand drought causation or rain quelling. You can make it rain and you can make it not rain by adding different chemicals to the sky as they do. And so what I witnessed lit a fire under my butt, and I started asking people about it. Do you know about this? Do you know about this? No one even knew the term. And anybody who did know the term, they brushed it off and said it was a conspiracy theory and that I was wasting my time. So then slowly but surely, I realized that I had to give it some attention because it was something that I was witnessing firsthand. And then finally, I found that there was some activism in there, that it had been discussed, but I didn't think that it had been given due diligence. There wasn't a good enough job done. And so I made my movie, and now it's, in my opinion, the best movie on the topic, Frankenskies, and it's available online. And it's 80 minutes. It starts off in the 1920s and does a historical chronological timeline to get us to where we're at today.
Yeah, it is a great documentary, and I do recommend it highly. I've seen a couple, and yours really goes back from day one when we started talking about weather manipulation and also Agent Orange in Vietnam. Like, people just forget about that. I got sick and almost died, Matt, from toxic mold. And I went to a place in Dallas, Texas that saved my life. And they did a lot of alternative remedies, or now they call it functional medicine, like vitamin IVs, oxygen. And I'll never forget, there was a guy there who was never able to get well from, he had been exposed to Agent Orange. And then he also went to Afghanistan. And there was so much in the air that the doctors couldn't really find a cure, a way to help him. He basically had to detoxify his body. But I want to skip a little bit. I could talk to you about that all day. I want to skip a little bit to 5G, talking about unseen forces in the air. Tell us about 5G and the effects that it has on the human body.
Yes, and happily. And thank you for sharing your story just a little bit. Everyone has our life journey, and it takes us into these positions where we're kind of forced to learn the truth. And 5G for me was just a word. I never knew much about it. But then my personal journey was while I was working on my movie Frankenskies day and night and sleeping in my bedroom where I was working on the movie, I slowly but surely started developing electro hypersensitivity because of a smart meter on the other side of the wall from where I was living and sleeping and working 24 hours. And so once I learned that there was something that an EMF could do to you, then that word 5G, I started looking it up and finding out, wow, this is even going to be more impactful than these smart meters and anything else. And so what it is, and I'll break it down as fast as I can, is the technology that we have now, or the predecessing technology, because now 5G is working its way into our lives, but the previous technology, its predecessors, all wireless technology is light. It's light that we cannot see, but it's still light. AM radio waves, FM waves, Wi-Fi, our cell phones, all that is light that we cannot see. And the light is used to carry data. And so now this light that's being used, it's a lot different than the 4G and all its other predecessors because the size of the wave that the information is carried on is way, way smaller. So an AM radio wave that carries information rather far is 100 feet tall. An FM radio wave carries information 10 feet. It's 10 feet tall. And this is all light that we cannot see. It travels at 186,000 miles per second. And it is exactly like light, but we just can't see it because of the properties of our eyes. And because it is just like light, it absorbs into our bodies because our bodies think it is light. But it doesn't impact us that much because of the size of the carrier wave. And so in this instance, size really matters. So the 5G carrier wave is all the way down to being measured in millimeters. And never before had carrier waves been in that category, being measured in millimeters, that small. Now, light that we see, like sunlight, is measured in nanometers. So now we're getting very close to being the size of light waves, close enough for our body to be confused and absorb it into our systems. And we absorb that. It's actually just radiation because it's not light and it's carrying data on it and all that. And so because the carrier wave is small and absorbing into everything that it hits now, it cannot go very far. Now, an AM radio wave is 100 feet tall. It's going through houses. It's going through us. It's not absorbing into everything because our cells aren't 100 feet tall. It's not hitting things that are relative to its size. But the 5G, it's hitting everything and absorbing into it. So now they have to have these repeaters everywhere. And then the cell phones end up being repeaters. It's not like 4G tech. It's not like 3G. So now the phones are repeating the signal in this mesh system that's pushing the 5G around. And so they have the phones have to be emitting a lot more power and a lot more radiation and a lot more frequency. And then we're exposed to a lot more and we're absorbing it and it's throwing off our bodies and we're absorbing a lot more radiation than we ever were before, if that makes sense.
It does. It does to me. And I hate to do this to you because I'm going to ask you to maybe even talk faster or try to describe in about a minute the connection between 5G and COVID.
Yes. So I have these definitely, and I have these phone bags. And when COVID first happened, the phone bags stopped working. I had to double layer my phone bags. And I realized that these phone bags had to get tripled layered now. And there's layers of copper and nickel because the phones were emitting so much radiation that my phone bag stopped working. I was so surprised at first. And what I found out was that the phones are emitting like 100 times more radiation than they ever did before. And what I realized is people are showing symptoms of low-level radiation sickness. It's actually identical to the symptoms of COVID, a runny nose and loss of taste and losing your hair and whatnot. So a lot of people aren't realizing that their phones are on a whole new bandwidth and emitting all this radiation. And actually, they might actually just be getting sick from their phones and not from their neighbor and all that sort of stuff. It's really worth looking into. And being that I got a master's in business administration and studied statistics, I don't just say these things. It's not just a corollary relationship. It is causal. If you start to look at it, the nuts and bolts of it all, I do think that 5G and the crank up of 5G, that COVID was just a smokescreen to introduce this technology to the world.
Gosh, it's so sad. Talk about nefarious. What a nefarious plot for them to go after humanity like this. Matt, thank you so much for joining me. I encourage everybody to go check out your documentary. How can people find out more about you?
Yes, please check me out. I've got my EMF protection clothing line with the silver protection clothing and the foam bags and all that protect from 5G at sperogear.com. Yes, Sparrow Gear. Sparrow is a Latin word for hope. So please find me there. And I have a website, actualactivists.com. And Matt Landman, I'm everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. So please don't be afraid to reach out and be my friend. And don't be afraid to be an activist, too, because we all need your help.
I'm going to be your friend and I'm going to order some of those products. Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back. Joining us live now, freedom of religion advocate and founder and president of the Hardwired Global, Tina Ramirez. Tina, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Shereen.
So describe the situation for our viewers at home, what is going on right now and why it's gotten so bad.
Mm-hmm. So my organization is called Hardwired. It's the idea that we're hardwired to be free and that our freedom of conscience and belief and religion is really our most fundamental freedom, because for any human being, it's what keeps us going. But around the world, over 81% of the world's population live in countries where they don't have this fundamental freedom to believe what they want, to live out their beliefs freely without fear of oppression. And in Iran right now, the situation is horrific. And I'm sure many of your viewers have seen that women have been protesting in the streets across Iran these new policies where they are forced to be wearing their headscarves and hijabs. And if they are not, they're being brutally attacked by morality police, police that are essentially, their whole job is to enforce a morality code on these women. Last year, one woman that refused to wear her hijab was taken into police custody and killed. And so since then, these protests have broken out across Iran, really protest over these the horrific killing of this woman that was really just wanting to express her beliefs and her conscience and her freedom. And that's not permitted in Iran. And so as a result, over 500 women have been executed and around 20,000 people have been taken into police custody and sadly will be tortured, I'm sure, over these policies. But they've started actually putting cameras across the country to monitor women that are wearing hijabs or not, and then to come after them. So it's just a horrific situation. And my heart breaks for the women there and for what they're facing.
How did you become so involved in this and become an advocate for these women who desperately need your help and our help in bringing awareness to this issue?
Mm-hmm. Well, the women of Iran really don't have a voice within their country, as we're seeing. They are standing up at risk of their own lives and trying to stand up for really what I believe we're all hardwired for, which is the freedom to believe according to your own conscience and convictions. But that right doesn't exist in Iran, like in many countries. And so the least that we can do is stand with them. The least we can do is draw attention to what's happening to them and be a voice for them, as other women, people of faith around the world that recognize that no one should be attacked or oppressed because of who they are and what they believe. And that message needs to be heard loud and clear around the world. If there was a women's march for these women in Iran, imagine how different the situation would look today. You know, we can march over so many different issues here in America for women, but not for women that are literally just trying to take off a headscarf and, you know, express something that they believe in the way they dress and in their expressions. It's one of the smallest things that they should have the freedom to do. And yet it's denied because in Iran, they live in a country that wants to force them to believe like the dictatorial regime that rules the country. And these women have no dignity and no freedom. There are women across Iran who are having acid thrown in their faces and that are being physically attacked by police, morality police across the country. The situation is just horrific. And so I think as women and people of faith, we should be standing alongside them and saying enough is enough. You need to let these people have the freedom and dignity that they were born with, that we believe that they were created to have.
Absolutely. And God bless you for doing this and for speaking out. How much worse did it get with this administration versus the previous administration?
Well, we saw in Iran that both under the Obama administration and under the Biden administration, there have been protests in Iran and the U.S. has not responded. And the people and the situation there has gotten much worse. We know Iran is a rogue nation that wants to pursue nuclear weapons, that wants to attack Israel and other nations. We know that it is supporting terrorists across the region. I was recently in Iraq and in villages that were once held by Christian communities that were forced to flee when ISIS came in. ISIS is no longer there, but in the political vacuum, Iranian-backed tribes have moved into those communities. And when you drive through the checkpoints across Iraq, you see images of all the Iranian leaders at those checkpoints. And it's terrifying for the communities that live there because they don't want to live under Iranian rule. The women, the people of Iran don't want to live under Iranian rule. No one does. But we have an administration that's not willing to stand up, whether it's in Iraq, outside of Iran's purview, or even within Iraq, and say that this is wrong and that Iran will not have supremacy in the world or in the region. They will not gain a nuclear weapon. They will not terrorize their subjects like that. We need to stand up for religious freedom, but we have an administration that's not able to do that in any capacity, whether it's in Iran or whether it's in Ukraine or whether it's in Taiwan or anywhere else in the world. And so we see rogue regimes like this taking advantage of its citizens, and we see the humanitarian situation worsen and unravel. And unfortunately, that's what happens, you know, when you choose political leaders that are unable to show strength and resolve for the values as Americans that we stand for, values of human rights, the value of religious freedom, the value of democracy, and of people being able to protest peacefully and dissent from government, which is what these women are trying to do, dissent from a moral religious code that's being forced upon them. They have every right to do that.
Absolutely. How does your organization help fight back against this tyranny?
Yeah. Right now, we are not working in Iran. We are watching and monitoring the situation closely and obviously trying to raise awareness to it, because this is what happens when religious freedom fails in any country or doesn't exist. In those kinds of situations, you have countries that take advantage of every aspect of people's lives, and women and children disproportionately suffer. We are working in Iraq, right next door to Iran, as I said, where Iran is trying to influence the situation, particularly in the north. And in northern Iraq, in Mosul and the Nineveh Plains, as many of your viewers may know, in 2014, ISIS came in and decimated the entire region, kicked out Yazidis and Christians and other religious communities. They sexually enslaved 6,000 Yazidi girls, Christians. Essentially, it was a genocide against Christians and Yazidis. Those communities, now that ISIS has been defeated, are coming back into Iraq and are trying to rebuild and restore their communities. But the ideas of ISIS, the ideas of intolerance and violence and religious extremism continue to dominate the area. And so my company, Hardwired, has been going into Mosul and the Nineveh Plains, and in collaboration with the government there, with the Department of Education in these regions, has been working to train teachers in religious freedom. And in training teachers in religious freedom, we're actually able to shift the mindset of children that have been brainwashed by ISIS to be terrorists to instead embrace religious freedom and the rights of others, and help these women and girls and communities that fled to come back in, and instead of attacking them, to value their dignity, to value the dignity of, and rights of girls, to value the religious freedom of Christians and Yazidis and others. And I was just in Iraq 2 weeks ago on the 20th anniversary of the Iraq War. And what I saw after doing this project for several years now in Iraq has been a marked shift in the climate of these communities, where even communities that had been held by, they were very sympathetic to ISIS, are beginning to embrace religious freedom. And it really is encouraging that when we have religious freedom, so many other rights come with it. When we don't have religious freedom, every other right falls. And so this isn't just a first freedom here in America. It's something that every person in the world is really hardwired to have and should have. And so we fight for that through education and training in the countries where we work around the world. And one of those happens to be Iraq.
Wow. You are a brave, bold woman. God bless you. You're also the Republican front runner for Virginia's 12th Senate and 12th Senate district. And I hear you're seeing some success at the grassroots level. How's that going for you?
Yeah, thank you so much for mentioning that. I have been extremely blessed to be able to run for office here in Virginia. I'm sure many of your viewers know that Virginia has been at the forefront of the challenges confronting parents on education and protecting our rights as parents to our children's education. And so here in Virginia, I have been definitely leading in the polls, leading with grassroots support, but I believe it's because I'm in a conservative district that wants to vote conservative and is really sick and tired and fed up of career politicians and others that don't actually want to go to Richmond or go to our local government and stand up for those values that they care for. They hear a lot of talk and people get elected and they go and they say they'll do one thing, they do another. And I just think that people are really fed up with that. So what I've run my campaign on is a grassroots based movement. A lot of parents, a lot of moms like me that are really fed up and want to see someone be able to go to Richmond and actually start changing the policies on education, from the transgender policies that we've seen being just shoved down our throats in our public schools, the pornography that we've seen in our schools that's been shoved down the kids' throats, the equity policies. Under the Northam administration, the previous Democratic administration, they denied our children their merit scholarships and merit awards under their equity policies. Many people across the United States are familiar with the critical race theory that's been shoved down our kids' throats. My daughter happens to be biracial, so I've been at the forefront of this, and I've defended human rights around the world for all people. So I've been at the forefront saying, do not try to take my child from me or indoctrinate her or to tell her that somehow because of the color of her skin and my skin, she needs to hate me. This is just wrong. And it shouldn't be happening in America. I mean, we started talking about Iran and Iraq, and these are the kinds of things I expect in those countries when I work overseas, defending human rights, defending religious freedom. But for our religious freedom, our First Amendment rights, for our rights as parents to be coming under attack this way in America is really unconscionable to me. I can't fight what I do around the world without wanting to defend it here at home. And so I'm a staunch advocate for our rights, our constitutional rights here in America, and making sure that they're preserved and protected. And in Virginia and across the nation, it really begins right here, making sure that we change things in our state legislature. There's so much that needs to be reversed, and I am committed to doing that. But I'm leading the race, and just, you know, appreciate anyone's support that wants to get involved. And the website for that is tinaramirez.com. So I thank you for mentioning that.
Well, Tina, thank you so much for joining me. God bless you. Stay safe. Sounds like you've got a full plate, a lot of work ahead of you. And we need more women like you who are unafraid and bold and brave. So God bless you. Thanks again.
Thank you. I'd love to be happy to share anytime. I appreciate you bringing voice to this issue.
That's all that we have for today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. You know, in a couple of weeks, my book, Killer House, is going to be available for pre-sale. And I would love it if you subscribe to my website at ShemaineNugent.rocks. You can be the first to get notified when it is available. I promise you, this book will change your life. If you didn't know anything about toxic mold, you will. But it's also a story. It's a bit of a memoir. So I'm really happy to share it with you. Don't forget, mark your calendar, share this show. I'll be here every Sunday. I hope you will too. And as Esther 4:14 says, perhaps you were born for such a time as this. God bless.